while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so honored to be here this morning. Yes, I met my brother at the wedding. When I saw him, he looked at me and he said, "As if I know you somewhere." I said, "Are you sure you know me?" "Okay, let's look at this way. Your name is Deji?" And he said, "You know my name?" I said, "Oh. You minister at Polar Cell?" He said, No. "You are taking me too far. Please, you charge me anything you want from me. Just tell me. I will give it to you. Just remind me where you know me." I said, "Are you sure you want to know?" He said, "Yes, okay. I know you, Spurgeon's College." And then he gave me a big hug. Then everything reconnected, and then he remembered me. So we just set our separate way, and then a few minutes later, I said, "No, let me go and sit with him, and we have a little bit chat, because it's been a long time, since 2013. And then I went and sat with him, and he said, "You know what? Now I'm going to invite you to come to our church." I said, "No problem, I will come." And then he said, "It's not that you are coming to come there, sit down for me to serve you, no. I haven't seen you for a while, so it's time for you to come and serve us." I said, "Okay, no problem. If this is what God wants, why not?" So I'm so pleased and I'm so honored to be here this morning. So, Reverend, thank you very much for inviting me here. And you know the funny thing? My mother-in-law is in this church. My mother-in-law. Somebody said, "Who is she?" Ma Bridget. So I know that I'm at home. I'm not a stranger, so I feel at home, really. Let us pray. My Lord and Father, I thank you. I bless your name, and I lift your name on high. Thank you for bringing me here today, and thank you for using me. Daddy, today I commit myself into your hands. You know that I know nothing, there's nothing I can do without you. So, Father, use me today. Speak to your children, speak to our hearts. Don't let us live here the same way we came, but touch us before we leave. We welcome you, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. He gave me the theme, and the theme is, when things are broken. When things are broken. So if everything is broken in your life, what do you do? I was watching the children. They are rejecting all the offer. So I can see that they have heard something. They have learned something from Jeremiah, from Nehemiah. Now we come to a point that now Nehemiah, everything is broken in his life. So if everything is broken in your life, what do you do? We are going to learn from Nehemiah, and then we are going to learn something from him. Every leader has a vision and purpose. And that goes for Nehemiah too. His purpose was to help people create a better community by demonstrating a more supportable and enriching way for living. Nehemiah valued honesty, integrity, caring, sharing, praying together, personal growth, and fulfilled living. But he was betrayed by the community. Betrayal can occur in every type of relationship. It can occur between marriages, friendship, families, local communities, institutions, and even churches. Anyone can betray you. It doesn't matter wherever you are. It doesn't matter who you are. We can get a betrayed. Nehemiah has been betrayed. It is painful when someone you trust betrays you. It can make you feel vulnerable as you counted on that person to be there for you. And when people experience a betrayal, common reactions include lashing out in anger, self-denying, a loss of confidence, withdrawn, and distrust of people. It is understandable. Challenging to manage your feelings after a betrayal is really difficult. How do you move on and heal? When somebody betrays you, how do you move on and how do you heal? Is there anyone here that has never betrayed before? No one. How did you move on? Sometimes we keep it in ourselves and we find it difficult to move on. But Nehemiah did something that I want all of us to see. When all things are broken, this is exactly what happened in Nehemiah 5. A community who had been greatly united when opposed by the extended enemies were now threatened by internal strife and disagreement. Now there was a great cry out of the people and their wives against their Jewish brothers. This thing happens to the whole community. Community Nehemiah trusted. Community Nehemiah is building wall around them. Community Nehemiah think that now we are going to have honesty and peace. This is what the people in that community are doing. The internal problems that Nehemiah faced had to do with the division between rich and poor. The people living in the community were living in miserable conditions. They were terrified and felt their lives were threatened. Things were made worse by famine. Those who owned property were forced to mortgage their fields, vineyards, and houses in order to get food to eat. Others had to borrow in order to pay their taxes on the land, while some were even forced to sell their own children. They are forced to sell their own children. If you don't sell your children, there's no money for you to do anything. So you need to sell your children before you can come get something to eat. Sell their children into slavery to their own brothers, fellow Jews, in order to pay their bills and taxes. Instead of the rich Jewish leaders helping their Jewish brothers, they were exploiting the poor. These businessmen were operating heartlessly, putting their own financial gain as first and foremost, without regard for how it helped their poorer brothers and their families. This was an urgent matter, because an internal enemy is potentially more dangerous than external given. Their threats unity and stability within. This deep internal betrayal was very disappointing, heartbroken, and would make every wise person or leader angry. Nehemiah was disappointed and responded to the problem immediately. Nehemiah was disappointed and responded to the problem immediately. There are an opportunity to learn from difficult situations encountered within our own family, including from believers who are injuring or oppressing us by creating in afresh. There are four things that Nehemiah does, giving us as example to follow. Consultation with himself, 1, 2. Confrontation of offenders, 3. Correction with godly fear, and 4. Reference of practical example. Before I go this one in details, I just want to give you example. One example that I know, one of my friends in Ghana. He is a Baptist member, and he is a leader in the church. He is a singer, doing Bible studies. Baptist, Ghana, we do Bible studies before we start the service. So he's teaching adults, not young children. And this woman living with her mom, and the mom was traveling, so he said he's going to rent the house they are living. And this lady don't have money to rent. And she don't know what to do. She went to the church and she told them. And the deacons called one of her Christian mothers, because that woman was close to this lady. They told her to go to the house and investigate and see what the lady is saying is true. So this woman went to the house and spoke to the mother. And the mother told the Christian mother that what he has said is not true. He's not any intention to tell his daughter to get out from the house, but it's the daughter who doesn't want to live in that house. And what he said about her daughter is really unspeakable. So as a Christian mother, what do you need to do? This Christian mother went straight to the church, and nobody knows what he told the deacons. After that, he went to her classes, and then when he went there, the lady was teaching. He said, "Please, can I speak to your class a bit?" He said, "Okay, yeah, you can." So this lady stands somewhere for the woman to come, and he stood in front of the church, in front of the class, and he said, "I can see that you people here, sometimes you come to church, you behave like an angel, but at home, you behave like a devil. You need to behave, you need to be one who you are. Don't act differently." And what he said in the class, "If it were you, what will you do?" And from then, what she was doing is like everybody is watching her. There is a big question mark. You don't feel comfortable to do what you need to do. It's like they are taking everything she doing in the church from her. This woman did not do anything. She still stayed in that church. 8 months later, he told her brother to come and take all his stuff from the house. So when they are moving the bum stuff from the house, the lady went to the church and he said, "Now they are taking my mom's stuff from the house because the one he has rented the house to is coming next week." And then pastor said, "Now I am going to see. I'm going there to see if what you are saying is true, because nobody believes in this woman anymore." And when they went, they are moving her mom's stuff. And then pastor was just standing there, don't know what to say. And then he tapped the lady's shoulder. "Don't worry, everything will be fine." And he left the lady. If it were you, will you still go to the same church? Great. He didn't stop. She didn't stop going to the church. She still continued. Well, when it's almost a day for the man to come into the house, she went to evening service, and when she was coming, he said, "Lord, tomorrow will be my last day in this house. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm going to take my children to my friend so that they can live there, but you and me are going to sleep outside, and everybody is coming to look at our nakedness. If that is what you want, that's fine. Because if they laugh at me, they are laughing at you. I don't have anything to do anymore." So she didn't do anything. He went home, slept. In the morning, she went to devotion. When she was coming back from the devotion, she got a call from her sister. And her sister says, "Afia, I'm very sorry about what mom has done to you." Thank you. She said, "Afia, I'm very sorry about what mom has done to you. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. Stay in that house. We have sent that man money back to him. So you are not going anywhere." The church did not fight for this lady. Nobody helped this lady. But because she trusted in the Lord, because she believed that only God can help her, and God did it. When all things are broken, what do you do? Sometimes it's so difficult that you don't know what to do. But I tell you the truth. When you know Jesus, when you have Jesus, you have everything. But if you don't know him, it's really difficult. So today, I am telling you about Jesus. Just trust him. And you see, and secondly, when we got upset, when everything is wrong, broken, how do we behave? We trash our anger on something. Let's see what Nehemiah did. He said at first, consultation with himself. As soon as Nehemiah heard the problem, he was rightly angry. He was fuming at how the rich were treating the poor. He was angry that the people of God would violate the law of God so unashamedly. And yet, he did not immediately act angry. The Bible says, Nehemiah first consulted with himself. He said, "I advised myself. I took counsel in my mind. I ruled over my heart." This is a good way to solve a problem. When all seems broken, what do? Nehemiah did not solve the problem angrily, took instead a counseling with himself first. Controlling over his heart. When all things are broken, it doesn't matter how mad you are, how angry you are. The first thing we need to do is just sit down and communicate with God. Check yourself. Maybe it's something wrong we've done. Maybe it's something little that has brought all these things to your life. Don't rush and say whatever that comes into your mind first. But first, advise yourself, so that God will give you a wisdom for you to speak out. We need to remember, whatever we use our mouth to say, it comes to us. Whatever. Sometimes if your child does something silly to you, you open your mouth and then you just insulted the child. That thing will come upon your child because he is or they are your children. We need to be mindful about what we say from our mouth. Second, confrontation of offenders. Don't hide anything, your feelings or anything from God. Somebody will say, oh God, you know everything already. No. He said we should open our mouth and he will feel it. So whatever you are going through, whatever it is, make sure you open your mouth and tell God. Once his anger was under control, Nehemiah comforted the offenders. The offenders were power prayers of their day. Today, those could be directors, head of trustees, deacons, president, etc. You can name them. All the power prayers in our life. Nehemiah called them. Nehemiah called a great assembly and spelled out the problem and stated that their behavior was not good. That their enemies could mock the Jewish for their mistreatment of their own people. This is how Jesus instructed us to deal with the problem. Whatever the problem is, call that problem out. Speak to that problem and know that everything will be fine. If you did not mention the name, if you did not speak into the problem will not go anywhere. Be bold and speak to God. Nehemiah was bold enough. Call all those leaders and ask them, hey, what are you guys doing? Our enemies, what are they going to say about us? They enslave us. And God has helped us to bring everything together. Now we are here and you too are slaving your own blood. What is going on? We need to tell the truth. Not angry way. You need to calm down and know how to speak. My mother-in-law will bear me a witness. If you call me and you say anything calmly, I won't be upset. I will accept everything you are saying. But if you speak to me harshly, even if it's a good thing, I will tell you, thank you very much, but I think I don't need it. I'm not going to accept it. So be calm and say whatever you are saying. Everybody will get your message and your message will work. Even if your child is misbehaving and you are threatening them, they are going to do it more. But if you sit them down and you want to know why they are doing this, the meaning, the advantage and the disadvantages in it, they change. So we need to know how to comfort our problems. Third, correction with godly fear. It is God's kindness that leads us. It is God's kindness that leads us to repent. Nehemiah asked them, verse 9, should you not walk in the fear of the Lord? It's the fear of the Lord that causes us to walk in holiness. When someone is being rebuked for sin, but is uncertain to repent, that means they do not fear God. If you do something silly, something which is not in line with God, and somebody boldly told you, and you did not repent, it means you are not afraid of God. It means you don't know God. But if you know God, he will give you wisdom to change. The fear of God will give us the wisdom we need to repent. When things are broken, how do you honor God in the process? When all things are broken, do you remember that God is there? If God is here, why am I going through all this? I don't think God is listening to me now. Hey, he is there with you. God hasn't gone anywhere. Maybe you are not open to him. Or he wants you to know that without him, you are nothing. God has so many ways to allow those difficulties to come into our life. How do we welcome it? How do we behave towards the situation we are going through? We need to be practical example for those who don't know Christ to know Christ. Nehemiah was practical example. Let's see what he said. Nehemiah said, I know there is always a temptation to make money, but this is wrong. Follow my example. Nehemiah is a man who lives by example. Self-sacrifice is necessary for moral leadership. Everybody is leader in this room. If you are not leader at your workplace, you are leader at your house. You are leader at the school you are in. You are leader at your own bedroom. If somebody is coming to your bedroom, you tell the person, please, knock before you enter, isn't it? So wherever you are a leader. How do you put yourself example for people to see you and follow? Did you let people know that you are a child of God? You are a Christian? Or do you tell people that I am a Christian? We shouldn't tell people that I am a Christian. They should see the Christianity in us. Our actions, our behavior, whatever we are doing, that's what people need to see and know who we are. As Nehemiah shows in verse 14 to 19 says, previous governors had lived richly at the taxpayers' expense, but he refused to do so. He believed strongly in vengeance for evil. As his prayer here and elsewhere indicates, the people did not repent in only by words. They repented indeed. They gave back what they had taken from their brethren. Repentance is not just inwardly, but outwards. It's a reverse, a change of behavior. If you have repented, we need to see a change in you. If you said you have repented and you haven't seen any change, I don't think you have repented. If you say you have repented and you go back to whatever you are doing, you haven't repented. Repentance needs to be changed in you and outside. Everybody needs to see that repentance in you. That is exactly what Nehemiah did. And his brothers listening to him in their change. These four principles stand out for Nehemiah in carrying out God's will. First, his compassion, as it is the strong will of obedience to God. How is your compassion? Is it strong? Are you obedient to God, or you are obedient to your own self? You are listening to your feelings and do whatever you want to do. Nehemiah looked at God first before he behaved. Second, cooperation with others is required to carry out God's will. Are you in peace with everyone around you? Or because I have offended you, you don't have peace with me anymore? We need to cooperate with each other. That is what God expects from you and me. We don't need to separate. We don't need to say, he has hurt me, he has done this to me, so I'm not going to talk to her anymore. This lady stood on his feet and he said, I know I knew Jesus and he is not going to fail me. At the end, this Christian mother went back to the lady and he said, I know you are greater than me now, I bow to you. She recognized something special, something unique from this lady, because the lady did not utter a word. She did not let everybody know what this woman has done to her or the church has done to her. But she still stood up strong and went to church and act the same she used to be. And this woman got her respect at the church. That church was having about almost 2,000 people. She stood by, didn't change. We need to know, we need to befriend with anyone. For me, if I know that you hurt me, you are the person I will come close to you. Especially if I heard that you are saying something bad about me. I will make sure I will be close to you, and those who have spoken to them will say, what's going on? And then later, day two, they will turn around. It's not easy to do that, but the only way we can do is just know Jesus. Allow him to come into you. Allow him to take control over your life, and then everything will be easy. Thirdly, confidence results from knee prayer and then exposition of the Word of God, which reveals God's will. When I was listening to the announcement, I can see that a lot of prayers are going on here. A lot of messages is around. Hey, don't stay back. God hears our prayers. The more we go on our knees, the more our prayers will be answered. The more we believe what we are asking, the more we see it in our naked eyes. Sometimes what we ask, that's not what we get, but he is doing something wonderful in our lives. If you open your eyes wide, you will see that God is with you, and he is doing something that nobody can do for you. Lastly, courage, which manifests itself as satisfied tenacity in refusing to compromise on the behavior that one is doing God will. We don't need to compromise anything from God. Whatever God wants us to do, we need to go straight and do. If we can remember what happens to Paul. A prophet came to him and he said, this belt, I had a dream, God revealed it to me, that the person who holds this belt, wherever he goes, he's going to be captured and beaten and put it in the prison. If it were you and me, maybe you say, then I'm not going, the belt is mine. So then I'm not going anywhere. Please just give me a seat and let me sit down here. Paul said, this belt is mine, but I will go. This is how God has called me to do. Sometimes we go into a difficult situation to test our faith. Sometimes we are going through what we are going through because God wants to promote us. Don't ask why me. Just ask God, what do you want me to learn from this situation? What do you want me to learn from this situation? And then we are going to get answer from there. We shouldn't compromise our life for anything in this world. But we need to be focused on Jesus. That's what we need to be focused on. What we have discussed today is about Nehemiah. So what about you? When things are broken in your life, what do you do? We need to start by consulting first. We shouldn't act in anger. When we are overwhelmed and heartbroken, please calm down and think about the problem and the possible way to solve it. Then we need to comfort, to which means assess the problem and give it to God, knowing that only God can vindicate you. Believe that God will do it. So behave like a child of God. Don't complain or blame others, and be strong and let people around you see Jesus in you. Whenever you are down, whenever you are going through a lot, please let people see Jesus in you. There's no problem which is bigger than God. No problem. So let people see Jesus in you. How many times that have you lashed out? How many times were you angry, spoken to somebody harshly? I just want us to pray. Assess yourself. The time everything went on wrong, what did you do? Who did you offend? How did you speak to those around you? What is your behavior? God is willing and ready to change us and to take us to wherever you want to be. Assess yourself and speak to him. Tell him to give you a calm heart, honest heart, a heart that you can hear him, a heart that you can follow him, a heart that will help you to do the right thing. Not a heart that will make you follow your flesh and do whatever you want, but a heart that will lead you into his kingdom.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.